Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Lady V.
How are you doing this morning?
I feel absolutely amazing to be sitting next to the lovely, intelligent, well-spoken lady of the moment and forever in my life, Lady V.
I must say, I missed this because I wasn't here last week, Wednesday. So, needless to say, I'm really, really excited for today's show.
No, I am also excited. I think today's topic is very relevant, especially for our generation that tends to know a bit about trauma. And then, yeah, the rest comes from the internet.
Yes, unfortunately. So today's topic is called regression, and this is quite an interesting one as always. You know, we are allowed to evolve. We are allowed to grow past some of the most debilitating experiences of our lives. Scripture speaks of the mercies of the Lord being renewed daily, yet we can hold ourselves hostage for things that have happened to us or things that we did to others that are 10 years old. Regression, it's a return to a former or less developed state. It's time to ask the question, and how much of who I am is dictated by my former or less developed state. Experience, though sometimes a harsh and thorough teacher, should never give you a lesson that God never called it to.
Wow, that's a mouthful, and I think we need to debunk it. For those of you who joined us yesterday night and you heard us start with this topic, you know it is really something that's affecting a lot of people, sometimes consciously, sometimes unconsciously. But I'm going to put Lady V on the hot seat, and I'm going to really press those buttons. We need to get out that psychology area of her to make sure, you know, people can identify the areas of regression in their lives. Because it's always easy to point it out in someone else and say, hey, that person is not growing up. But how much of your emotions are coming from a state of regression?
Ooh, it's an interesting one this morning and afternoon. If you want to send us some of your own experiences or ask any questions or just get in touch with us, as always, you can reach us 071-364-0376.
All right, good song. Getting the morning started. It's 11:15. You are hanging out with the Vandellies.
It's time for the recap. As you know, we start the show on Tuesday nights on Impact 103 between 6 and 6:30 p.m. That's where you can find out what the live topic will be the next day. And we were talking about regression, and we used a few examples of how regression shows itself behavior and character-wise in our everyday lives. I quickly want to go into a definition of regression, and this definition really touched me. Regression is a psychological defense mechanism in which an individual copes with stressful or anxiety-provoking relationships or situations by retreating to an earlier developmental stage. Regression may be seen at any stage of development in both adults and children when someone behaves in a way that's immature or inappropriate for their age. So we've got quite a few examples of regression that we're going to use this morning, but I want to use this fundamental one that we experienced live. Firstly, it's important to remember that regression comes through as a defense mechanism, and defense mechanisms only come in as a result of psychological trauma.
What is a defense mechanism? What does that mean?
It's behaviors, characteristics, or you could call it personality traits that you have put in place because you went through something traumatic in your life.
Okay.
For example, a defense mechanism can be that you think you're a closed-off person, but the truth is you're just trying to protect yourself because you've been through things that have hurt you. Uh-huh. So regression is one of the many. There are many. There are about 20. There are 8 fundamental ones. And regression is actually one of the 8 fundamental ones. It's the first ones we learn in like Psych 101. The first things you learn about those top 8, regression is one of them. And it's a state of comfort where your mind goes into its infantile existence in order to protect itself from the reality of what's actually happening right now.
Okay.
And we went through this experience practically at a Christian youth camp about 7 years ago. At this time, there was a young lady, she was 21 years old, and she was actually there with her child, and she couldn't read. And so I asked her when was the age where she stopped being able to read? Was it always this way? She explained that her ability to read stopped at the age of 12. When I asked her what happened to her at 12 years old, she explained that she'd been violated by a teacher in her grade 7 year. And that was the last time that she could actually read. So we worked through that and prayed through that and called the Holy Spirit into that situation. And I remember the specific prayer was that the Holy Spirit would go into the depths of her memory and just hug that little girl and tell that little girl that it was going to be okay. All these 7 years later, that girl reached out to us and she's now a nurse. So what was happening in her brain is that there was a stunted development. That's what trauma does, is it causes you to stay stuck in what happened in the past. One of the ways is to regress. And so it's like your life stops at the point of your trauma and you cannot mature past that. So some of the behaviors that we see is even as adults, married couples, let's quickly talk. You're going through something with your spouse and you throw a tantrum, quote unquote. Sometimes the manner in which we deal with our conflict shows a regressed state because we're not dealing with it in an age-appropriate way. We're dealing with it almost like in our childhood home. Whatever happened there is still how we're dealing with things. That's a good sign that you're still regressed.
Now, there are people, for example, and I'm going to use marriage, where when they're dealing with their husband or their wives, they now begin to see the home and the experience they had as children. They can even start quoting, you know, you're behaving just like my father.
Yeah.
You're behaving just like my mother.
Yeah.
Is that a sign that the person has a certain area in their life where they're dealing with regression?
Absolutely. In the case of regression, because not all defense mechanisms are the same, memory is power. And it's memory that the enemy is using against you to make you so vivid, to make your past memories more vivid than your present reality. And so things just look like what they were before, but it's hard to appreciate things for what they truly are right now.
Sure. Now, if someone is listening and they're like, no, Letitia, you know, I'm not necessarily dealing with regression. It's just that a lot of people have hurt me and now I'm protecting myself. How do you help them identify that what they're doing is unhealthy for them and it is indeed a defense mechanism?
You know, when we speak about, you know, we've started the show speaking about kind of the mental psychological stuff of side of things. When we speak about the mind and how it works psychologically, something is only called a disorder once it affects your ability to progress in life, once it affects your job, your relationships, etc. And so to a person like that, I would say that it's completely normal to put boundaries once you've learned that something doesn't work for you. That's one thing. We're not saying get hurt and keep behaving yourself and opening yourself up to hurt. But we are saying that there needs to be a balance where everybody's not going to hurt you. Everything is not going to hurt you. And if you feel like you're losing out on relationships and friendships and opportunities because you've really taken on this role of the person that's always hurt and always the victim, that's when we need to talk about change and talk about what God meant for that thing to do versus what the enemy has now stolen from you to make you a closed off or, you know, person that's a recluse.
Wow. I believe we've laid the foundation and we are ready to go into this conversation. If you're listening and you've got questions, 071-364-0376. Remember, our aim is not just to present the problem. We also want to come in with a solution, so we will be dealing with your questions. Beautiful song there by Limo Blaze and crew. Letitia, are you ready? Because you're going to be on the hot seat a lot today, because we want to really grasp this topic, and especially for the sake of healing. So what is the next thing we're looking at?
So the idea for our show name today, Regression, came when we were watching a documentary. It was about Japan and the Japanese society and how people go into schools and workplaces and how those specific ranks are chosen for you. There is a syndrome in Japan called the Hikigomori syndrome. This
Hikigomori.
Yes.
We're learning Japanese with the Vambit.
Hikigomori. And we were watching this documentary in shock. It is a form of severe social withdrawal called Hikikomori, which has been frequently described in Japan and is characterized by adolescent and young adults, even grown men and women, who become recluses in their parents' home, unable to work or go to school for many months or even years. So the Japanese schooling and working system goes in the following manner. From the time you're in primary school, you write this big exam. This exam determines which primary school you go to, which determines which high school you go to, which determines which university you go to. So basically, an exam you write when you're 6 years old determines which ranking in life you will be.
Oof.
What that has created is that if you weren't the best from the time you were 6 years old, you are highly disadvantaged in getting the right kind of high school position and the right kind of work position. Now, work in Japan is highly, highly sought after, and they only pick from the top ranking schools. This means that from the age of six, you can be already disadvantaged to live the kind of life you want to live. And what that creates is at every age range, there are people in Japan who just give up on life. They become recluses and they live with their parents. The youngest Hikigomori we saw was 9 years old because he felt like a failure. And so the parents said, you don't have to go to school, I'll take care of you. The oldest we saw was 55 years old, and his 85-year-old mother was taking care of him. So there's over a million people in Japan who live this way. And what it's created is something called the which ranking in life you will be.
Oof.
What that has created is that if you weren't the best from the time you were 6 years old, you are highly disadvantaged in getting the right kind of high school position and the right kind of work position. Now, work in Japan is highly, highly sought after, and they only pick from the top ranking schools. This means that from the age of six, you can be already disadvantaged to live the kind of life you want to live. And what that creates is at every age range, there are people in Japan who just give up on life. They become recluses and they live with their parents. The youngest Hikigomori we saw was 9 years old because he felt like a failure. And so the parents said, you don't have to go to school, I'll take care of you. The oldest we saw was 55 years old, and his 85-year-old mother was taking care of him. So there's over a million people in Japan who live this way. And what it's created is something called the 80-30 issue, where parents who are in their pensioners are taking care of children who are 30 years old and even 50 years old. And what these children are hoping for is that when the parents die, that they have left enough pension or some kind of investment or savings for them to be able to live off of. But what usually happens is that those savings are not enough for these Hikikomoris, and they become homeless. They become street people, all because they gave up on lives as a result of failing in some kind of social ranking. Now, I was judging these people, heavy, heavy judging these people, until I just felt in my spirit the Lord was saying, but Letitia, I deal with that in you guys all the time.
Uh-oh.
This is where the topic comes in for today's show. How you and I can be living in such a regressed state that God can't move us forward because we are so stuck in all the things that happened in our past.
You know, I think it's always easy to look at a severe situation and identify a problem, but when you are walking in the same thing and the symptoms are there, you know, they may not be severe. It might not be that you live in a society that decides your fate from the age of six, but you could still have experiences that you've had as a child that are still, till this very day, deciding where you live, how you live, who you talk to, why you speak to people. Your fears, your inner voice is determined by a regressed state.
That's really sad that you would say that, because some of us are 46-year-old people whose lives are being dictated by a 6-year-old inner voice. And that is the depth of today's conversation. Isaiah 43:19 says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." So what we are encouraging today is to not live so much in the past that you no longer see that you are not the person that you thought you were. And even other people perhaps don't even see you that way. One thing is for sure. Our God that does a new thing doesn't see you as the old you. There is a new you, and we want to break that forth this morning.
And today we are here for solutions. So if you know someone who needs to hear this conversation, you call them, you tell them, tune in to Impact 103 FM, and you can send us your questions on 071-364-0376.
Stephen Stanley with "Where I've Been." And it's such perfect lyrics for today's show. Where I'm going is not where I've been.
Wow. I love it. Leticia, so the enemy is good at modeling the wrong version of our lives to us. And what I mean by that is this, right? When we read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, it says, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the childish things." Some things will say, "I put the ways of childhood behind me." I love that translation. I put the ways of childhood behind me. A lot of you, when we interact with you and we are speaking with you, 20 years ago means more to you than now. 10 years ago means more to you than now. You're talking about how churches betrayed you. And you're saying this happened 10, 20 years ago. But it's still your daily story. There's something wrong there. If you still talk and think and reason like the younger version of you, there's something wrong there. Let me give you an example. We have artists who've made careers of how they're proving their teachers wrong. The teacher said, "I'll never make it." So your whole life, what a teacher said to you in maybe grade 8, sometimes in primary school, is deciding how you think, how you speak, and what you're trying to prove to the world. Instead of coming from understanding who you are, how the Lord has designed you, your passions, your genuine passions, you've had an interception of words that were perhaps negative that are still deciding for you how you make your life decisions.
I think what's important to remember here to show you just the gravity of what we're talking about is, let's consider two things chronologically. Let's think of the fact that when you were in grade 8, you were probably, how old is grade 8? Like 14 years old? Mm-hmm. If you're anywhere past your 30s and 40s and 50s, we are talking decades and decades and decades of having given some obscure human being that probably doesn't even remember your name right now, such power and authority over your life, that someone who was speaking in passing, you took that and you made it a doctrine for your life. And what that does is that it steals from you. It steals from you in many ways. And one of the ways in which it steals from you is this feeling that you constantly have to prove to people who spoke down on you that you're going to make it, that you're going to be successful. And years ago, I once posted on Facebook that to prove people wrong, you will sell your soul. There has to be a place where you have a central locus of control. You have a foundation with God that determines how you make decisions. Not every check. You know, when they say not everything that glitters is gold, not every money is good money. My father used to say behind every million, there's a murder. That was his way of saying that. The point is that when you're trying to prove something to someone, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, whoever hurt you in 19 whatever ago, you are going to compromise your better moral values. You're going to compromise your better spiritual values in order to prove something to people. Let's talk life partners. Some people are literally married to a specific person because they were trying to prove something to somebody else.
Sure.
And you get into that house and you realize, shucks, I actually have to live with this guy. Like, I actually have to live with this girl. And this idea I created in my head that she has to look like this or he has to drive this is no longer sufficient for me to actually make a family and a marriage work. And this is how those kinds of mindsets begin to steal from you in the long run. So it can sound like something small. Yes, my teacher said something bad to me, and so because of that, I'm going to live against it. But what you're actually doing is you're putting that human being in the position of God, and they then get to dictate the decisions that you make in your life.
Some of you is what your own parents told you. You know, and we need to touch on this because it can be people who are close to you. And just because they are your parent and maybe they themselves were broken, or maybe it's a spiritual leader or someone else in authority that you actually trusted and, you know, you shared your heart with and you were open with in a state of growth. Just because they spoke to you that in your childhood, or in a time when you could not fend for yourself, does not mean it needs to become the story of your life. You have to disarm those words. You have to remove the power that you've given it. Because remember, the power is given by you. If it's still affecting you, that means you have submitted yourself to those words, whether it was words of failure, whether it was curses spoken over you, whether it was just pure meanness. You know, there are people who spew dirt and hatred, and you know, they are used by the enemy to destroy lives. But it's your choice to choose to take that stuff and walk with it. You with the Vambilis on Surviving Life. Stay tuned. We'll be back as we're speaking on regression. Elevation Rhythm with Praises. Man, the energy on that song is just absolutely amazing.
As we're moving towards the second hour of our show, we did talk about solutions, that we're going to talk about solutions today. I want to start with scripture quickly. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 19 to 22 says, "Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies." I want you to remember that word, prophecies, "but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good and stay away from every kind of evil." I want us to quickly look up what the word prophecy is, because when you are a believer, you program yourself to think prophecy means coming from a man of God. It means precise, it means wholesome, and it means pure. But when we look at the definition of the word prophecy, it is a prediction of what will happen in the future, right? What is a prediction? It does not have to necessarily be from God. It does not necessarily have to be right, nor does it have to be spiritual. That means what, Danny, you were talking about earlier, what your mother said, what your father said, what your teacher said, it's a kind of prophecy. Whenever someone speaks to you, especially about your future, they are speaking into it. They are prophesying into it. Now, of prophecy, it says not to scoff at them in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19 to 22, but to test everything that is said. Now, this is probably a segment for a show for another year, but this thing of just receiving prophecies and not testing them is not biblical.
Come on.
Some of us go to churches where they say, you cannot question the man of God. The word of the man of God is the word of the Lord. Well, according to the word of the Lord in the New Testament, what we practice, it says that you have to test everything that is said and hold on to what is good. of what is said, and discard of every kind of evil that is coming out of what is being said. Now, that scripture, I'm using it to say that even biblically, you have the right to sift through every single word you are given, whether it's by a prophet, your mother, your teacher, whatever. Because what can happen is that even your success can be fueled by fear. This is how the enemy steals from us. You can't even enjoy your success because you are bringing dead things with you. When we say scripture speaks of eating the meat and spitting out the bones, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about not building around your wound. It is human nature to get a wound and then to build a life around it. Memory is power. We say this on Surviving Life all the time. Whoever has control of that memory has power, whether it's God with the Israelites saying, remember me in the wilderness, or it's the enemy turning you into a pillar of salt because you won't forget. We're going to get to that later. Memory is power. And this is how this big elephants in the circuses are trained. Why don't the elephants trample the trainer? Well, because when they were little, they were beaten and they were oppressed and they were shown that this person is powerful. And because an elephant never forgets, that memory works against the elephant. They never grow past their infantile stage to realize that they could not just trample the trainer. They could trample the entire circus.
In the documentary we watched, there was actually a young man who was a successful accountant. And we are going to really touch on his story because he was still living from that place of childhood.
Yes.
And I want you guys to really sit back and say, am I this person who is being affected by my childhood so much? Have I embraced gluttony? You know, gluttony is one of those things, Letitia, where We in the counseling space have met people who would say, you know what, I eat so much now because I didn't have food when I was a child. But you are eating something that is killing you to a level that's incorrect because you didn't have. In other words, you're not taking time to notice that the same child who didn't have now has. The same child who was abused is no longer being abused. The same child who was discarded by society now is accepted. But instead, you allowing the years of rejection to determine your future. Beloved, that thing is dangerous and it is stealing from you your joy. We want you to embrace your life. We want you to live from a place of wholeness. And that's why we're having this conversation on regression. Is regression your defense mechanism? WhatsApp us on 071-364-0376. And also know that we will be praying for everyone at the end of the show. Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it. Right, so it's that time of the show where we take a look at your messages. Let me quickly start off. Hi, Lady V and Danny V. God bless you. More strength and courage and faith. That's from Alice. Sandra sent us a message. Good morning. I just want to know how to help someone in this state. It's an up and down path and medication is not the solution. God bless from Sandra. Sandra, we sent you a number that you could actually message and we believe you'd be helped. And then we had Brett. Brett said, morning, get the person with a problem to read Matthew 6 verse 14 to 15 and Mark 11 to 25 to read the scriptures three times over to let it sink in so they can understand them. Then get the person to give everything over to God that's just troubling them. That person won't believe the weight that will lift off their shoulders if we can only entertain what God wants to put in our minds daily and not the worldly things, then we will be all right. Lady V, what do you say?
Thank you so much for all your messages. As usual, we appreciate it. And if there's anyone else that would like to send their thoughts, comments, or opinions, 071-364-0376 is our WhatsApp line. We're talking about not allowing the enemy to keep you small in your mindset because it affects your quality of life. You know, the enemy is good at perversion. He is so good at perversion. And earlier on, Danny, you said that the enemy is good at modeling to us the wrong version of our life. Let's quickly look at Gideon. God did not allow Gideon to stay small. If Gideon had the mentality that we're talking about today, it would have been so much harder for him to accomplish that 300 stuff that he was able to do with his army and to free his people. God simply does not care about the boxes we put ourselves in or the boxes that society puts us in, because we are people who are called to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, it's something I say because when we look at sight, salt looks like sugar, and that can be extremely deceptive. Let's talk about the character trait of the enemy that we see in John 10:10. We see two character traits here. We see the character trait of our God the Father, and we see the character trait of the enemy. And the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I want to break down the scripture quickly, especially as it relates to destruction. As human beings, when we look at a broken piece of glass, we speak by sight and not by faith. What do I mean by that? I mean that we call it what it is. It's a broken piece of glass. But no one acknowledges that that's a glass. We call it a broken vase, but we don't call it a vase. Now, I'm going to use the scripture to explain what I mean. Because the enemy doesn't create, according to John 10:10, he only steals, kills, and destroys. The enemy can only destroy what God has built. Another word for destroy is to pervert what God has built. So if you see a broken glass, God created a whole glass. If that thing is to be restored according to the word of God, it will be restored to a whole glass. Same thing with a vase or a vase. If you see a broken vase and Jesus gets involved, that vase will be restored to its full function. How can we use this analogy in our everyday life? If you struggle with immorality, that simply means that the enemy has destroyed morality. That's what God created, that the enemy destroyed. The enemy cannot put these things in you. He can only pervert what the Lord already created in you. That's what that scripture is saying. We see someone in the streets selling their body and we call it what it is by sight. We say that's a prostitute. But the truth is that the enemy has perverted something in that person that has them in the streets. It could be holiness, it could be piety, it could be right standing, it could be anything that causes you to see that behavior in a person. I'm going to show it to you in scripture again. How else does an orphan become a queen? So if Esther had the regressed mindset, or the mindset of sight, as I call it, to see something and call it as it is, she would struggle to run a nation and even be married when she didn't come from marriage or companionship. The Bible says that she didn't just have servants, she had maidens. She was fasting with those maidens. And so it's important to see how, by modeling the wrong version of your life to you, the enemy is simply destroying something that God has put in you. And that is the question that we need to ask ourselves today. I'm such an angry person. I'm such a violent person. I can lash out. What is the opposite of that? Because it can't be put in me. It can only be perverted. What is the original thing that God had put in me?
So, I'm as the husband, I'm just coming and giving you the summed up version. Maybe you think you're a failure, but that's just the perverse version. You think you're weak, but that's the perverse version. You think you are broken, but that's just the perverse version. If only we can receive the real version of ourselves. Someone listening today needs to quit disqualifying themselves. 071-364-0376. We need to have those real conversations. What lies have you believed about yourself that you need to let go of today? We need to let go. Today is that day, and you with the Vambillies. You still hang out with Danny V and Lady V on 103 FM. Oh, Letitia was opening a can of worms, okay? We went in on how perversion is, its very essence, and what it looks like. Now, how do you deal with a perverted memory? A memory that just brings out the worst experiences. What went wrong? What's wrong with you? And it pulls from all the bad things that people have said to you over and over again. And sometimes the enemy has strategically positioned people in your life to repeat the same things over and over again. And you're sitting in a place where you now believe it. And you saying, man, I'm worthless. I'm broken. I don't deserve good. No one should love me. I can't be followed. I can't be trusted. It's always my fault. How do we deal with those perverted memories? We take it to Philippians 4 verse 8. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, set your minds on those things. Beloved, there's a role you need to play to set your mind intentionally on good things. Just like you have unconsciously set your mind on bad things. You know, you may not have noticed it. You may not have seen your own role in setting your mind to focus on all that negativity. But today I want to present to you that perhaps you've participated in setting your mind on those things. But we're not going to leave it there. There's another scripture also in Philippians 3 verse 13 that now asks us, after we set our minds on the new, on the good, we also need to do something very important. In Philippians 3:13, it says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind me and straining towards what is ahead. This is Paul. Paul who murdered Christians because he thought they were wrong. Coming back and saying one thing he's learned to do is forgetting what is behind. Some translations will say he's obtained, the one thing he's obtained is the ability to forget. Some of you need to forget. You need to forget the traumatic events. You need, and when I'm saying forget, I'm not saying bury it in the sand, you know, bury it alive like in a coffin that turns it into a vampire. You know, vampires come out at night. When you've got something that's buried alive, whenever you go through darkness in your life, that vampire will come out and it will talk to you and it will tell you how worthless you are. Your things will always break. You know, this always happens. No, you need to open that coffin and kill it. Kill those voices. Kill those bad experiences. Be it experiences of abuse, be it experiences of neglect, you need to kill it. You need to put it in that coffin and you need to bury it dead and say, I will not associate myself with that identity again. Instead, I will trust again. I will believe again. I will focus again. I will get up again. I'm not going to allow the past to continue to dictate my future. And if you have allowed it, we're not here to condemn you. We accept, like, look, bad things happen in life and bad things get hold of us. But we also sing in scripture that there comes a time when we have to let go. Letitia, can you pull up that scripture in Luke 31 verse 32?
Luke 17 verse 31 to 32, we see Jesus coming and speaking about the coming of God and judgment day, etc. And he says something important in verse 32. He says, remember what happened to Lot's wife. And this part of scripture, and some translations say, remember Lot's wife. I think that's powerful because when Jesus is talking about moving forward and the future, he speaks about someone who was more dedicated to the past that was burning down than the future that God had in store for them. And so the question is, are we more bound by our past than we are by the potential future? Unfortunately, for so many of us, our Sodom, our Gomorrah is up in flames. And if you lived there, you didn't maybe see how bad the immorality was and how much the Lord wants to do something new for you. When we speak about regression, being a person that is stuck, we are talking about the pillar of salt that manifested within Lot's wife. That can look like many things practically, but we are encouraging that you do not become a pillar of salt in the things that God wants to deliver you from.
Beloved, we will be back, and you know what? No more being Lot's wife. If you've been Lot's wife, I need you to message and say, no more Lot's wife, as in you are choosing to not be stuck as a pillar of salt. 0713640376. We need the decision. We are setting our minds to not be Lot's wife. Jamie Grace with Faithful. You are on Impact 103, handing it over to Lady V.
So we've been talking about moving past your former selves, and in the beginning, in our intro, we said something about psychology. You know, as someone that has studied the thing, sometimes I really, really don't like the fact that those materials were made public and now everyone has access to it. Why? Because we're self-diagnosing in the wrong way. And when we do find out that something is wrong with us, we're dealing with it in the wrong way. We are normalizing some things that we would call disorderly behavior, things that we would want to rectify or correct. We are normalizing. What are some of the things that we've normalized? Something like imposter syndrome. I'll hear it being said in movies or people speaking about it quite colloquially, but that's a very, very big issue. And Danny, you mentioned it earlier as well, how things like imposter syndrome is actually just a regressed state of mind that's keeping you from progressing into your new and more accomplished self. So it can be abbreviated to IS. Imposter syndrome is a behavioral health phenomenon described as self-doubt of intellect, skill, or accomplishments among high-achieving individuals. If I could describe imposter syndrome spiritually or biblically, I would call it imposter syndrome comes from remembering too much about your past.
Wow.
That's where it comes from. And it keeps you from walking in your true, evolved, and authentic current self, because you are still caught up in the things you know about yourself that are not necessarily positive. Some of the reasons why we deal with imposter syndrome is because we do have that vampirous voice in our own heads that's aware of who we really are. Now, when I say who we really are, I'm putting it in parentheses or quotation marks, because sometimes what we're being told we are is a falsified version of ourselves that the enemy wants to believe we are. And sometimes the voice telling us who we are is taking advantage of the secret lives that we are living. Okay, we have to go there. Some of the reason why the enemy has got access to your inner voice is because in the background of everything you do for everybody else, there is a private struggle. There is a private life that is continuing. One of the ways, as we speak about solutions to these problems, to get rid of the inner voice is to allow the Lord to do the work in the broken behavior. Because until the Lord does the work in the broken behavior, the enemy will always have content. Okay, some of us are literally giving the enemy content in the background. So you've never struggled at work. You've never struggled with your job. You've never struggled with your competence, but you've struggled morally. There are things you're doing morally that no one knows about. There are mindsets you have that nobody knows about. There are indulgences you have that nobody knows about. Now, instead of covering it up with good behavior, it's time to do the work for which Jesus died and really allow him to come into those behavioral errors that only you're aware of, that's allowing the enemy to talk down on you constantly. So imposter syndrome is much more profound than I don't think I'm good enough for this high level position. Imposter syndrome is when we have given access to a regressed version of ourselves. We've given it room and platform. There's a pulpit in your mind of this person or this thing telling you that you are not good enough. And in order for you to truly step in, Esther, truly step in, Gideon, truly step in, David, you can't stand in front of your Goliath and think that the bear was too small. Because remember, David was prepping for Goliath. That means Goliath was worse than the bear. Goliath was worse than the lion. You don't stand before Goliath and say, oh, but the bear was so small, I'm finished now. Now I'm finished. You stand before Goliath and you say, because I could do this, I can also conquer this. And imposter syndrome is what will make a David say, listen, I've killed a few bears, but this one, yeah,
let me,
it's
just
higher
leave
grade.
This
is higher grade maths. I'm not going to do this. And so be encouraged to know that God has prepared you for what you are currently walking in. No matter how high ranking you think it is, it's just the picture of who God sees you as. And like we keep saying, if he could take an orphan and qualify her as queen, there's nothing he can't do with you and I.
Beloved, you need to make a decision, and we are here to stand with you, and we can see the Lord changing a mindset. No more being victims, no more feeling like we can't do it, but it's time to walk in it, man. It's time to say, Lord, I'm letting go of the past. I am presently going to be available, and I'm no longer living from a place of regression.
Did you know that 70% of South Africans do not have a valid will? The reason is simple. They don't know where to start or just too busy to pay attention to it. We at Executeers for Estates and Wills make it easy for you. A personal specialized consultation at your home or work. It can even be after hours. And best of all, it's free. Executeers for Estates and Wills want to help you get your legacy in order. No hassle, no headache. Visit executeers.co.za for more information.
Impact 103. Now is the time to come alive.
We've been looking at people who feel small because maybe they failed at something in life, and the enemy is now using that to his advantage. But what about people who've actually made it in life? And I say made it in quotation marks, made it as we would think a person makes it. So we've been setting up a case with the documentary about the Hikigomoris, that it's people who failed early in life and they can't get over that failure and they're stuck in their parents' house for a lifetime. But within the very same documentary was a man who actually passed the exam at 6, went to the best primary school, proceeded to the best high school, and then was chosen among the high-ranking corporate companies in Japan. One of the top 500 corporate companies in Japan chose him. And this successful man would go home, make noodles, and cuddle up to his wife, who is also an anime doll. Now, he married...
What do you mean? Does she look like a doll or she is a doll?
She is a doll. She's a life-size doll who is also a popular anime character.
Oh, wow.
And he actually had a wedding ceremony with this life-size doll where there was a pastor, it seemed. His family and friends were there. And they support his love for this doll. Now, I had... a hard time understanding why someone who was successful was also regressed in this manner and living with an inanimate object, essentially. When he was interviewed, and you could hear the pain in his voice, you could see the pain in his eyes, he was talking about how when he was in grade three, this is a 30-year-old man, talking about how when he was in grade three, he was so bullied for being a nerd and for being lanky and strange looking that when he would come home, this anime cartoon would play and he would find so much comfort in the anime cartoon. And because he didn't have friends, he spent hours and hours and hours watching this cartoon. He grows up and realizes that only this cartoon understands him. And so he proceeds to marry that cartoon and live a life with that inanimate object. Now, going back to John 10:10, where we said earlier, we see two characteristics here, one of the devil and one of our father. It also says that Jesus came that you might have life and have life in abundance. Now, let me ask you this question. Is this man's abundance not being stolen? Because the Hikigomoris that we've been using as a case study throughout our show today, they tell themselves, I'm not married, I don't have kids, and I don't have any fulfilling purpose in my life because I failed. Yet we've got people who have become successful, but the enemy has wormed his way through abuse, through trauma, and through lack to convince them that they still are not worthy enough. It's similar to the example we used earlier where we said there are people that are dying from health diseases because they can't stop eating. And the reason they can't stop eating is because when they were five, they had so much poverty and went days and days without food. The inability to free ourselves from our experiences when we were five is now killing us when we're 40 because we have a hard time understanding. We've established something now. The money will be there. We now need to make sure that the success doesn't kill us trying to prove something to our younger selves.
Wow. You know, you look at such a person and you think, this person has married a life-size doll. And because of something that happened, grade three, you probably, 8 years old? Because of something that happened to them when they were 8 years old. And, you know, that visual is a physical manifestation of what some of us are going through emotionally. Some of us are being determined by what happened to us when we were young. Don't wait to be an old person looking at your life and thinking, yo, I've totally messed up. I've pushed away the people who've loved me. I have isolated myself so much that there's no one there. Do not wait to be that old person living in regret. Instead, take today as a moment to make that decision to heal. And you know, we at the beginning of surviving life, we're not allowing ourselves, the Lord did not allow us to counsel. But we've been reopened and we've been taking time to see people. If you do need help, you can reach out. We'll be giving you guys that number at the end.
We've reached that part of the show where we have to love and leave you, but it's just for another few days before we meet up again on SLWV on Impact 103. We hope that you've been encouraged today to enter and step into whatever your new season is with the Lord. And we are challenging you to see yourself as you are now. You know, some of us, our oppressors are actually dead. The people that did those things to us are 6 feet under, yet the power that we bestow on them is something that we cannot even repair with them because they are no longer here. It's time to step out of old identities, old mindsets, and remove the chains that we so often put on ourselves because of some of the experiences that life has put us through.
Guys, let go. Set your mind on new things and be ready to accept, man, we fail in life. We mess up. We don't start off right sometimes, but the Bible says something so beautiful that encourages me all the time. It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. In other words, it's not how you started, but how you end. You know, so stop looking at how you started. Stop looking at where you started. Stop looking at, you know, the family you started in. And start considering that the fact that you are still moving, the fact that you are still alive, means that the Lord is with you and there's always an opportunity to do better. We're going to quickly pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for everyone listening today who has taken time to acknowledge that they need to heal, that they need to let go of what they experienced while they were young. Father, give them the strength and the knowledge. Bring the right people around them to walk with them, O Lord. Even those who have separated themselves from the body of Christ due to bad experiences, Lord, we pray for restoration. We pray for healing, that you'll reconnect them with your body, that they will be able to become who you call them to be. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and we all said,
amen. Like Danny said earlier, we were not released initially when we started Surviving Life to continue counseling, but we have been now, and we have a number for you. This number, it's best if you WhatsApp, please. If everyone calls at the same time, I think it will be a bit, hectic. 081-640-9372. That's 081-640-9372 if you would like to chat to somebody and get some Christian counseling.
All right, we are all ready to go. Lady V, what are we talking about next week?
Next week, we're talking about the spirit behind every conduct. Oh, gonna love that. It's so easy to see us acting out or behaving in ways that we don't understand from ourselves and from others. But the question is there a spirit behind every conduct? That's next week, same time, same place, between 11 and 1 p.m. on a Wednesday with myself and Danny V.
And then remember, Tuesdays, you can catch us at 6 till 6:30. And Lady V will not be on Soul Circle on Mondays for a while. She's taking time out, right?
Yeah. But I will definitely be back. And when I am, we will announce that as well. Thank you always for being with us on a Wednesday morning. And we hope you have a wonderful day further.
The Lord is with you. May the Lord strengthen you guys in everything that you do. And Lady V, I know December is coming up. So maybe as we do all these conversations, we also need to encourage everyone to start praying. You know, let's pray for journeys and travels. For those of you who will be going away, you know, don't wait, you know, just to pray, you know, the day before you go on your trip, but begin to commit your trip unto the Lord and also your family members. You know, it can't be another December of high accidents on our roads in the country. So I really have just felt that we need to encourage all the believers to stand up in prayer that, you know, this year will be one of the years where the government even reports like, oh man, there was less accidents. And we as believers will be able to say now we stood in the gap.
Totally. We hope you are starting off your festive season wonderfully. And of course, stay on Impact 103.